Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, beloved. As it is always an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be in fellowship with the saints of Yah this Sabbath, corresponding with February 25th of 2017. How time flies, and certainly being at the end of February, it's amazing. That is quite amazing, but it is such, as I said, an honor and a privilege to be amongst the saints in fellowship, in person and by spirit. And I say that grace and peace to you brothers and sisters of the faith that is spread abroad and from God our Father and His Son, Yeshua the Messiah. In this day and time that we need each other, and we need to strengthen and encourage one another as we are in these perilous times. And so there's no better strength, no source of strength that is better, should I say, than from the word of Yah and from brothers and sisters that are sincere and genuine in the love of the Messiah, who is the Son of the Most High God, Yah. He died for our sins. He was slain. His blood was shed. And he's buried in the earth for 3 days and three nights. He was obedient to the will of Yah in this respect. That's why he came in the flesh to die for us, to be that last Adam, to rectify what the first Adam failed in. And by his death, burial, and resurrection, and through the faith that is given to us, if we believe this gospel, then we are reconciled back to Yah, and we are children of Yah once again, from the tribe of Judah, if you will, from that perspective, and a natural perspective with regard to that. And then spiritually, if you believe of the Messiah, but you are of the Gentiles, of other nationalities, that you are not of the tribe or the children of Israel, you are still counted as a child of Yah through the Spirit, and that spiritual sonship or daughter or child is most important. It is even more than the natural Jews. And for those that don't know Yah, natural Jews, natural children of Israel, you know, the Jews being the tribe of Judah, wherewith our Savior and our Lord has come through Yeshua the Messiah. So everyone that has to come now through Judah and be identified as Judah, but being saints of the Most High God, Yah. And so you have to come that way. Salvation is of the Jews. The Jews are of Judah. Yeshua the Messiah came out of the tribe of Judah. So in a sense, spiritual sense, when we take his seed, which is his word and his spirit, then he become our father in creation, if you will, a recreation or being born again, you know, in the way that the order is established. So it's important for us to have this understanding concerning where we stand and what we believe, and to be encouraged in this and why we even believe as we do, because the gospel teaches us that judgment is coming. It is imminent. And what are we saved from? We're saved from Yah's wrath to come. God is angry, you know, in the midst of his mercy and his grace, which is awesome in and of itself, but he is an angry God. But he is not a God that is out of control, you know, and so he has a day of reckoning. And we don't want to be the victims of his wrath to come. So therefore, as he judges sin and those that partake and enjoy the pleasures of sin, they get the reward that he has for Satan and the demons that follow Satan, wherein the lake of fire has been prepared. Yah never prepared that for his people. It is important for us to understand this, that Yah had never prepared for his people to have condemnation, to share in what he has purposed for Satan. However, given us a will and being for humanity, if you will, for man, being as rebellious as he has been and to go in the way of Satan, then it was only right, or it is only right, that we get what Satan is getting and what the demons are getting, because we don't have any whatsoever desire to be with Yah and to follow Yah. So it had not been purposed, but that's what we are saved from. We are saved from the utter destruction, the perpetual agony and torment that is in the lake of fire, that is the lake of fire upon Satan, his demons, and all of men who follow him. So it's important for us to consider our souls and consider why we want to be saved. In the goodness of Yah, that he will bring his son in the flesh that is for us a blessing beyond measure. You know, but, you know, we can't emphasize enough that, you know, the Lord's love for us is he don't want us to be destroyed. He don't want us to be condemned and to partake of the everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And this is why we want to be saved. And we need to keep that at the forefront, because that is lost in the time of motivational speaking and prosperity messages, and people don't understand salvation. So with that being said, I want to speak about the life of Gentiles, because that's important. It lends its way into the salvation and to being saved, to being sanctified, meaning set apart from Yah's holy purpose. It lends its way to that. And so we need to know the life of a Gentile. And in knowing the life of the Gentiles, then we have a conscious mindset and we make a conscious decision on what life are we going to live. You know, do we want to continue in the life of the Gentiles, or do we want to continue in the life of the Messiah as he laid it out and as he walked? You know, which is better? You know, is there a difference between the two? And so we have to, these are questions that need to be answered. And quite honest, inquiring minds would want to know this, because we can be doing things that we think is right because it's acceptable in the culture, and we've been born into the times that we're in and the nation that we're in, but it can be far different and totally against what Yah has purposed. We have to see what the scriptures say, the word of Yah say concerning that, and then we make a conscious decision. You know, but who are the Gentiles? That's the first question that needs to be answered. Who are the Gentiles? And it is known from the word Gentiles to mean nations. That's a given. It is known to mean nations, you know. And but the primary identity from the New Testament era is more specific to a particular people, and that's what we need to understand from in this New Testament era. When this New Testament speaks of the Gentile, they are speaking to a more specific people. And to find those people, we, you know, this is a Sabbath scripture study, so you can't do no better than going to the scriptures in respect to this. But in Matthew chapter 20, verse 19, and, you know, we use the circumstantial evidence to come to a conclusion. You know, we do it that way. But in Matthew's chapter 20, verse 19, and it reads, and it's speaking about the Son of Man, or the Son of Yah, Yeshua the Messiah. So I can actually read verse 18 and 19. And so Yeshua says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So you had these religious leaders, the chief priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes, that they were condemning. They held court, and they made a determination in their judgment that Yeshua the Messiah should die for preaching the truth, which was against what they were living, and it was affecting their position, their title. It was affecting their money flow, and they didn't like this. And to this day, such religious leaders will take your life, basically, if you mess with their title, their position, their money flow. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money was the root of all evil then, and it is the root of all evil today. And we need to understand this. So they want to put this man to death. But the thing is, they deliver him to the Gentiles. Now, who were the Gentiles? Who did they deliver him to? Because the Gentiles are going to be the one that take possession of Yeshua the Messiah, the one that is going to, if you will, apprehend him. So it is no mistaken in the identity that the Pharisees and the Sadducees handing him over to the Romans. And you can find these, you can find this same passage of scripture in Mark and in Luke, these gospels that had the same passage of scriptures. But the Gentiles, the Romans, who are the Romans? The Europeans, the Caucasian people, the West, if you will. And as they occupied, they had Jerusalem, they had Israel as their part of their world dominating empire, then they controlled the politics of that land. They established a certain law and order in the land. And so when Yeshua is given to the Gentiles, this is one of the passages of scriptures, and if I need to, I'll go again in respect to Acts chapter 15. Well, I'll go to Acts chapter 9, verse 15. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, you know, because in this passage, Paul gets a commission from the Lord. And in this, Paul 9:15, Acts 9:15, the Lord speaks to Paul. Speaks concerning Paul, should I say. So Ananias is called to by the Lord to restore Paul's vision. I'm going to start at, and Paul was Saul at that time. I'm going to start at verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests. Understand that Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was in a religious order, and he was persecuting the saints, the church of Yeshua the Messiah. He was killing them or offering to, giving a license for them to die, as even the brother Stephen was stoned at the feet of Paul. So Ananias has good reason to be concerned about what the Lord is speaking to him. And then he continues, the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. This is what Ananias is saying to the Lord. But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, For he is chosen vessel, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. To bear my name before the Gentiles. Paul was commissioned to go before the Gentiles. And in going to the Gentiles, he went into Europe. At that time, even Asia Minor, which was a part of Europe, you know. So he went to Corinth. He went to Ephesus. He went to Rome. You know, these are European nations. He went to Philippi. These are European nations. Thessalonica. He went to Thessalonica, Asia Minor, as it was called. But they're the European nations to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles, as we understand from a New Testament era, it is specific in talking about the European Western Caucasian nation of people. In this era that we are in, this is the Gentiles that is being spoken of. So when we begin to talk about the life of the Gentiles and we define who the Gentiles are, then we can begin to take this course and traveling to the life of a Gentile and the full understanding of it. And so I just use these scriptures just to bring reference, and so that we can be on the same mind and not just assume in this New Testament era that the Gentiles meant all the nations. No, it is specific. Say this again. In this New Testament era, you know, and even Peter, you know, even Peter addressed the brethren concerning the Gentiles. I'll even pull a scripture on that, you know, because Paul began to preach to the Gentiles once Israel, or the children of Israel, refused to hear what was said. You know, let me let the scripture, the word of Yah, speak in that respect. You know, when Paul and Barnabas, for that matter, you know, they went, they did what they could with regard to Israel. You know, they preached the gospel. The Gentiles came and they want to hear the gospel on the next Sabbath. You know, you'll find that in Acts chapter 13 as Sabbath scripture study. So it's only right that I give you scriptures with respect to what I'm talking about. But in Acts 13:42, and it reads, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." And so it was the beginning of Yah calling the Gentiles into this faith and teaching and preaching to them the gospel that was going to be unto them, and that was going to be delivered to them, to have them to be converted spiritually, and so that they could partake of what was promised to the children of Yah with respect to Israel through the blessings that had come through the tribe of Judah, through Yeshua the Messiah, even such that, you know, they had opposition from the Jews, and I'm talking about Paul and Barnabas. But listen to, in the same chapter 13, let's look at this when it says verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold." They grew bold, that is to say, "and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you." He's talking about to the Jews now. "But seeing you put it from you," or that you put it, that you reject it, basically is what it's saying. He's telling them, "Seeing that you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." And then it says, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained eternal life believed. So that's what had to come in order for the Gentiles to be, the door to be open for the Gentiles. And Paul even went on to say in Romans chapter 11, he goes into the fact that Israel, you know, that the Jews basically were permitted, for lack of a better term, to reject or to fall in order that the Gentiles come in. If Israel had never, if they had never rejected Yah, the Gentiles would not have had an opportunity. But the scripture make it very clear in Romans chapter 11, verse 11. It says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? He's talking about the Jews in this sense. As a whole, the Jews as a whole, Jews now represent in the New Testament era, they're representative of Israel as a whole, because now we're born again through Yeshua the Messiah. So you have to be a Jew. Salvation is of the Jews, and this is the spiritual. This is no longer even a natural relation that Israel and Jew have tied to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even in that. But this is the spiritual essence that it came. Yah was more specific in the seed coming through his son, as he had prophesied even in Genesis, but the seed coming through this one son, Yeshua, and now we all that are believers of Yah, a son, Yeshua the Messiah, that receives this gospel, that hears this gospel, we are Jews spiritually, as well as those of us that from a lineage standpoint are naturally Jews. I said that earlier. And I must say that it is not the Jews of today and the Ashkenazis, European Caucasian Jews. They are counterfeit Jews. They are not the true biblical Jews. If you heard me for any length of time, you know that as a Hebrew Israelite, I am strongly convinced that the black people here in America are Yah's chosen people, of the tribe of Judah, that is the representative on this earth for Yah here in America. And not just only in America, but spread abroad. But for what spirit that Yah had for the purpose of Judah, that it, the spirit is strongest amongst black Americans. So I do not agree or believe that the Jewish people are the true Jews according to the scriptures. They are imposters. They are counterfeit. And we have scripture to back that up, because scriptures speak about certain conducts and behaviors, so on and so forth. But continue Romans 11. So he says in verse 11, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Yah wanted to be the blessing and enrich the Gentiles in order that Israel be jealous and seek and return to their God and seek him. But that has not necessarily become been the case, you know, and we'll get more into that. But for right now, I still want to get supporting evidence of who the Gentiles are. And even Peter had an encounter with the Gentiles when, you know, in Acts chapter 15. You know, in Acts chapter 15, the Gentiles were detested. You know, and it wasn't racism at that time. They were just detestable. And it is akin to how it is flipped in this day's time, that the Gentiles now detest the true Jews. And they do it under this new invention called racism. But Israel at that time, and the Jews at that time, detested the Gentiles, and they did not want the Gentiles to share in their righteous or godly promises in the inheritance that Yah had blessed them in. And so it's strange, and it's of no coincidence that things have turned now, and the Gentiles in their dominion, their power and authority, reverse what was done to their ancestors or what was thought of in their ancestors. And so now they return the favor and they hate on Israel now. They hate on the children of Yah now with the same detest that Yah's people. Well, I'll say even greater. It's even worse. Racism and the races is even worse than what our people, Israel, did to them. Because, see, we just stayed away from them. We didn't go out and we didn't go seek them out. We didn't go to kill them and to lynch them, to burn them. You know, we didn't have means because they were in power and authority, at least during the Greek and Roman era, for that matter. You know, and they had their own land. We didn't have dominion over them. We had no dominion, and so we couldn't render to them injustices and abuses of the law and different things. But when they came into our blessing and they partook of our God, then they reverted to a mindset that brought about the racism that we see now. It is an invention and a rather new phenomenon that has never been seen in all the world. You know, but this is what it is with them now. So they reversed the detestable and they added to it. They increased it and it became worse in the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah, in the acknowledgement of our Lord and Savior, of our brother, of our father spiritually, and of our God, that they began to do evil against us. A reversal of fortunes, I say. You know, so with this, Peter, you know, he spoke as well. When there was a dispute, and so in Acts 15:7, he says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And we know that Peter had to go to Cornelius' house, who was a Roman centurion. He went to Cornelius' house and preached the gospel to Cornelius' household. That's when it first started. But Peter was not an apostle to the Gentiles. He had a specific assignment, but to that one householder, Cornelius. But Paul, on the other hand, that was his mission, that was his purpose, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles above all else, if you will. He preached it to Israel, he spoke it to kings and leaders, but in the midst of all of that were the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was just the chief apostle, and with the other 12 that stayed amongst Israel, amongst Judah, you know, and the southern kingdom, if you will. Then Paul goes and spreads it abroad. So we see this as Paul is commissioned to the Gentiles. Once again, where did he go? He went to Europe. So now we begin to get into the culture of the Gentiles, which is very significant. And the culture of the Gentiles is the way of life of the Gentiles, their way of life, you know, and their lust for position and authority and power. You know, it is something unique and particular about the Gentile way of life. You know, and Peter, going back in Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, you know, it lends to us an understanding of the way of the Gentile, the way of life. Their culture has a specific way of life. And in this verse 3, Peter says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought, or have worked, that is, the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness. You know, when you're speaking of lasciviousness, the meaning of lust, of sex, you know, just excessive, perverted, every measure of sex, you know, homosexuality, bestiality, you know, fornication, adultery, these type of sexual acts that are just are not conducive or not had been not been purposed for Yah's people. Yah had given his people laws to have them abstain from such activity, from such a way of life and pleasure and perversions. He had established in his laws that what they ought to abstain from and keep themselves from. But the Gentiles didn't have this natural law. They didn't have this order in them, should I say. Anything go with the Gentiles. You know, anything was permissible. And isn't that quite interesting that even in this day and time you see these same characteristics? But he says, you know, he made mention of lasciviousness, you know. And then he says, in lust, in excess of wine, and reveling, and banqueting, and abominable idolatries. And then he says, when they think it strange that you not run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So this is the way of life in the Gentiles. You know, they're the lust, the partying, the sex, the rebellion, the revolting, the liquor, and the drugs. This is part of Gentile culture. This is the way of life for the Gentile culture. You know, and then the authority, law enforcement, the Gentiles rulers exercise lordship, you know, with the form of law enforcement, the lordship, taking, if you will, what would be reserved for Yah himself, that the lordship in the way that law enforcement, for example, they can kill you on the street without a trial. You know, and so the lordship and exercising of it also turns into their they are lawless. The Gentiles are a lawless people. The Gentiles are a lustful, are a partying people, are a loud and just loud and lewd people, rebellious once again. I did security at clubs in the past, and I tell you, it lines up with the Gentiles. And not only just on the weekends or when they go to their bars and these different things. See, we're not, as saints, we're not supposed to be in that type of environment and enjoy the pleasures of that environment with them. We're not called to do that. We're not supposed to be that. But in this, you don't see a people that is seen to be more in a natural habitat than when you see them in these bars, you know, and they just completely lose their mind and there's nothing to them. They jumping around, they bouncing off one another. You know, the girls are just throwing themselves over on the men, and it make me realize how a lot of these men, in particular black men, that go to these bars and mess with these Caucasian women when they are drunk, and then when they the next day are sobered up, then they say that you raped them. But if you can see the way that a lot of these Caucasian women do when that liquor get in their system, man, it's a sad sight. I do not believe that women should drink in public, particularly Caucasian women. I do not believe that at all. I am strongly against that because they really cannot handle themselves with that liquor in their system. And they're really seductive and enticing to weak men who give in to those advances and those seductions. But that's Gentile culture. You know, when we're coming up on the Academy Awards, they're going to party for that. You know, we coming up, we just left the, they had the Grammys. There was a party for that. They had the Super Bowl. It was a party for that. They have Christmas, and they have, Easter and Valentine's Day, and every occasion is a party, is a celebration, the culture of a Gentile. And all of these holidays and all of these events that they party in, there's always excessive sex, and there's liquor and drugs and just loud and crazy music. It is the culture of the Gentiles. There is lawlessness in the midst of these. So when Peter began to let us know that was a life and time past, and now especially being born and raised up in the Gentile culture for our times, that all of us had engaged in that way of life. That was a part of our being, our culture. But yeah, once we've been born, once we heard the gospel and it had been expected that we've been born again, then that behavior, that conduct, that manner of life has to be a thing of the past. Now we need to walk in the righteousness in the life of Yeshua the Messiah and not the life of the Gentiles. The children are rebellious. The parents are not parenting. The whole political system is corrupt. The legal system is corrupt. Every institution is corrupt and without any integrity. But that's how the Gentile system thrives. Violence runs rampant. They thrive, and the Gentile culture thrives off violence. America and the Gentiles, European nation, the Gentiles, they don't know what peace is. Their ideal of peace is to discomfort anyone that's not like them, of the same complexion, of a different religion, of a different color skin. They only want peace amongst themselves, but they can't even have peace amongst themselves because they are a people. Embedded into them that is seen throughout their culture, that is disorderly and disarray in the midst of all that they have acquired in their dominion, power, and authority. They're so that a people, the Gentile people, are still a people that's absent in their soul of the natural order of joy and of love and of peace, these attributes of Yeshua the Messiah. And this is why Yeshua the Messiah lended himself to them, to bring them in so they can know the peace, so they can get out of this culture. But it only lasts for a while. And we'll get into it. It only lasts for a while because once the apostles, the Gentiles that were, when the apostles, they were of honesty and integrity because they had the way of the apostles to keep them. But when the apostles was no longer alive and the Gentiles started getting to power and authority, then their nature came in and it mingled and mixed with the truth and the purity of the scriptures, and it began to form into what we have now is Christianity. And then it became the state religion of Europe under the Roman Empire, with Constantine ordaining it to be the state religion. But he never condemned the past practices, the idolatries, the sexual perversion and the lewdness and the rebellion and the partying and the liquor and the drugs and the gluttony and the just the, overeating and all of these things. It was accepted into mingling with this truth. So the nature of them, you know, Paul may mention in Galatians 2:15, we who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. And once again, Peter may mention, but Paul, you know, where the mouth of two, out of the mouth of two of Yah's witnesses, let Yah's word be established. When you have two that give an account, give a witness in the spirit of the Lord, then that word is established. Peter made mention of the Gentiles and their way of life And then Paul makes mention of it as well. The scriptures have to be consistent. They have to be consistent. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, in Ephesians 2:11, because now this life of a Gentile, identifying who the Gentiles are, then we see the culture of the Gentiles, which in respect to their life. In 2:11, Ephesians, Paul says, Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without the Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Yeshua the Messiah, you who are sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Yeshua the Messiah. But he says who were Gentiles in the flesh, having been born again by the receiving of the gospel, they were supposed to be born again. But to get into the way of life, the Gentiles of the flesh, let's see what Paul had to say about the flesh in Galatians. That's what I want to get at. What he had to say respect the flesh, because he's speaking once again to the Gentile church. He's speaking to the Galatians in this passage of scripture. Now he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest or evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, which is contentions, and then emulations, which are jealousies and wrath and strife. You know, and this strife is seen as selfish ambitions. The Gentiles are very selfish. They don't want no one to do better than them as a people. They want to be the cream of the crop. They want to be at the top. Selfish ambitions. Then seditions. You know, they have these different divisions, and you know, you got the Democrats and you have the Republicans, you have the rich and the poor. These are seditions, and even coming up against the government, coming up against authority, that make them lawless. This is the culture. And then heresies, envyings and murders and drunkenness and reveling. Reveling is partying. As I stated earlier, carousing, you know, just liquor and just drugs and just fun, just entertainment, always entertain. They're the best at entertainment. This is Gentile culture. Now, the scripture speaks against it, and then it says, envying, murders, they're killers. They are killers. You think whether the police shooting down unarmed black men, what do you think, the lynching? What do you think about the war that's going on in the Middle East right now? I mean, they're natural-born killers. This is the Gentiles. Why you think the capital punishment with respect to them coming up with their own method of death with the crucifixion? Now, Israel didn't think about killing until Yah told them with respect to stoning. Yah ordained that in the Old Testament. But it was not in their nature to, as a society, to just do it. And then when we get into the nature of humanity from a carnal aspect, respective of Adam's son Cain, who was the first murderer, but see, Adam's son Cain was not of the faith of Abel and then of Seth. So there was a lineage of Yah's people from the very beginning, even though Adam has sinned. But Cain was of that wicked seed that he had accepted what Satan put in his head, and he began to carry out the works of Satan, who was a father of lies and who was a murderer from the very beginning. From a spiritual speaking perspective, Cain represented his father, and the lineage of Cain continued all the way through Esau and all the way through these Gentiles. So these Gentiles are rooted back even to that time, but we know them as a tribe of Esau, and now we call them by the name of the Gentiles in this New Testament era. That's a bit of history that is very interesting to tie this, because see that the spirits don't change, only the faces and the generations. And so if the spirit don't change and the faces and the generations during the generation change, then the conduct and the behavior is going to be the same. It's just going to be different people, but doing the same thing of the murders, of the lusts, of the partying, of the celebrations, have no qualms whatsoever about rebelling against God, about revolting against God, even rebelling and revolting against their government. They don't like authority and being subjected to authority. They like authority to use it against other people to hold them in to exercise authority on other people, to hold them in submission. You know, that's what the Gentiles do. Yeshua made mention of that. You know, he told them, he says that Gentile rulers exercise lordship. You know, they like that, but they don't like to come under subjection to authority. They don't like, and especially if it's not one of their own. This is why the Gentiles rose up so strongly against President Barack Obama. It was just a matter of racism in that. It wasn't about character. It was the gall and the just the root bitterness of racism that they did not and they could not comprehend that a man of color, black man, would have rulership and lordship over them. And so, you know, it's by nature. But the works of the flesh is as Paul made mention of it, you know, with regard to the nature of the past. Before we came into Yeshua the Messiah, we were as Gentiles in our conduct, in our communication, and in our behavior, you know. But Paul, even in Ephesians, we see when it spoke about the flesh, and he made mention of the Gentiles in the flesh, in Ephesians, and then he makes mention in Galatians the works of the flesh, then we bring the two together to understand this culture. And now in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, you know, just to reiterate what Paul was saying and letting us know so that we can understand Gentile behavior, because it's very important to understand in order that we don't practice it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That is ignorance, and not because the knowledge is not there, but Yah's people reject knowledge. But here's the thing, you're going to know. You're going to know. Even if it has to be counted as an opportunity presented to you, Yah is going to hold you accountable as you knew, because you rejected when you could have known these things. But the Gentiles, verse 17, Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, in the emptiness and the futility of their mind. They had no conscience of the way they walk. They had no conscience in the vanity of their mind. They had no conscience about that a man should be a man and a woman should be a woman, and there is no such thing as transgender. They have no conscience about licking a dog in the mouth and a dog licking them in the mouth, and bringing animals and treating them like people, and then demeaning people and treating people, a certain group of people at least, like animals. They have no conscience of injustices that they cause upon the world, the vanity of their mind. They don't have a conscience. Yah said, we don't walk like that. They had no conscience of shame. So they walk nude and they walk lewd and they use vulgarity and they hatred is so normal to them. Racism, they had no conscience. We're not supposed to walk like that. And then those that say that they're in Yeshua the Messiah, being born again through the Spirit of faith, are not supposed to walk like that. Unconscious, have no shame whatsoever. That's the vanity of their mind. They had no shame. So Paul said, we don't walk like this. Paul is speaking to the Gentiles. This behavior, this conduct, and what the Gentiles are doing now, they did not get from their apostle. They got this when devils and demons creeped into amongst the saints and began to seduce these people and give them these doctrines such as a constitution and bill of rights, and then these doctrines that permitted for them to be more sinful than they have ever been before, to get them back to that degraded state that Paul came to clean them up from, that the reason why Yah had purpose from them to come into the faith, that seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil came in into their mind, and it taught them, it justified them to do the wickedness and the evil, returning them back to their Gentile state of mind. Instead of having the mind of the Messiah, to come up out of that sin, to come up out of that wicked and evilness that was a part of their culture. So the conduct was supposed to be honest. But we look at the Gentile culture, and you just see it. Look on the television. Watch the radio. Natural things are unnatural things are natural now, and the natural things are unnatural. So it's not no longer natural for a man's wife to be a woman. And it's getting more and more to that. And now the hate speech is when you teach this type of message, then this is hate speech. But the speech of love is one that lies and support them in their evil and what they do against God, Yah. They love that. That's speaking in love when you embrace their sin along with everything and anything that goes in their culture that's permitted. Anything under the sun, these folks find a way to justify and make it permissible. Anything that is against Yah, they find a way to write a law, a lawless people writing a law. That's what I say about lawless people. They love the law, but they love it only to exercise it over others, but not a law that will hold them in decency and order. When it holds them accountable, they change it in order to give room to continue to do their wickedness and their evil, to continue to steal, to continue to kill, to continue to destroy, to continue the greed. I mean, they just a lawless people that love to exercise lordship and make it permissible to do with thy will in their culture. This is the life of a Gentile. May have time to get into it. But listen to this. Because now I want to talk the religion of the New Testament Gentiles, ending on this. Because why aren't a majority of New Testament era Gentiles Muslims or Buddhists or Hindu or religion of any other nations? Why aren't they in those religions? Why do they have to partake of the name of Yeshua the Messiah, and then not only that, call themselves Christian above any other name? Because the gospel, Yah, it lends its way to what Yah said in his word, prophesied. This is how we know this thing is true. He prophesied in his word concerning these Gentiles that the Savior would come to them, the Lord would come to them, which is his son. He didn't say that Muhammad. He didn't say that whoever established Buddha for that matter, or whoever established Hindu, and there are many gods. He didn't call them. So the Gentiles have no desire as a whole nation to be in those gods, because those gods were not ordained and authorized to come and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. only the gospel that was in the care and hands of the true Hebrew Israelites of the tribe of Judah, which tribe Yeshua is from, was to come to them. And in this is the reason why, as perverted as it is, this is the only religion that they can embrace as a whole. Whether they convert after the fact of the matter, all the Gentiles first became Christians. They didn't become Muslims. They did not become Buddhists and Hindus and all these other religions. Their forefathers and all of them came into the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah first and foremost. Whether they got turned off from it and they went other places and did other things or returned back to their atheist belief or their idolatries, they first heard this gospel yet and still before any of this other stuff that's going on now. They've heard this gospel, but Malachi said it best in Malachi 1:11. Our prophet prophesied about this to them. Verse 11, he says, from the rising of the sun even until the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. This is why the Gentiles embrace the name of Yeshua the Messiah. And then from just a materialistic aspect, which is not cool, but then it also lends itself to this also. It says in Psalm 33:12, he says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. See, they know the blessing in the name of the Lord. While Yah meant the blessing in the spiritual sense, that they can be in salvation, but they also seen a benefit, because we've talked about the culture of the Gentiles, and we've seen in the culture, as in Galatians, this selfish ambition. So all they did is take the name of Yeshua the Messiah and make merchandise and use it for their own selfish gain. And in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, that's how they dominated the world. That's how they got their dominion, their power, authority, rulership in the world, because in the name of the Messiah, they went about and they destroyed nations of people that had the resources that their nation would be built on. So best is the nation. They went and they hijacked this blessing, perverted it, and made it into a more carnal, materialistic blessing just by having the name of the Lord, doing what they did in the name of the Lord. That's powerful. But even in Luke chapter 2, verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. It was a light to lighten the Gentiles. This gospel, Yeshua the Messiah, he is the light, and he would enlighten them. See, they didn't get enlightening, once again, from Muhammad, from Buddha, from the gods of the Hindus. This is the religion. This is why Christianity is the religion of the New Testament Gentiles. This is why they embrace it. But since they have gotten a field and they're in position, now they want to do away with it. And the truth of the Bible, that has nothing to do with Christianity. Let's make that very clear. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 32, or chapter 3, I'm going to end on this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 12. And Malachi, it says it again. And this is where they are. It says, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this was meant for Israel. But see, when it was permitted that the Gentiles come in, then they took these blessings and they made it into their own. And so you have America that has primarily the name of the Lord, however used in vain, but it's still the name of the Lord and his power and his name. They've now are called, America's called a blessed nation, and a nation to be a delightsome land, a delightful land. Many people want to come here. The marketing of it is nice, and being delightful. But when you get here, you find out something different. From my live streamers, until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace until salvation above all else. Saints, this truth, the Word of God, is so awesome, and it is so powerful. It is so enlightening, and it is so encouraging that we can't even begin to know what's going on outside of what he revealed to us. And it behooves us to pay attention, to take heed to the Word of Yah and the environment we're in, even our lifestyle, our culture, or our behavior and our conduct. Because if you have a life of a Gentile, you will not be saved. Your life has to be of Yeshua the Messiah. If you have a life of a Gentile, I am calling you to repentance right now. Do not have the characteristics. Do not have the covering of the Gentile on you, or the strange apparel of the Gentiles on you when Yeshua the Messiah returns. The strange apparel of the Gentiles of the works of the flesh that we just talked about. Don't have that a part of your makeup and character and say you and Yeshua the Messiah. It is time for us to repent of this and so that we can be saved. But this is the things, we understand who they are. We understand their culture. It is a most perverted culture. It is a most wicked. It is a, in a sense, the most lawless. Everything natural is done away with, and it esteems everything unnatural. And it is, I'm closing on this, it's just natural for them to be this way. They are unconscious to natural order, to the natural rhythm of things. The Gentile culture is like this. And they do this in the name of the religion with just the name of Yeshua the Messiah, not his character, not his conduct, not his communication. They just take advantage of the power of his name. See, there's no power in the name of Buddha. There's no power in the name of Muhammad. There's no power in the name of those gods in the Hindu. There's no power in that. But there is a earth-shattering, a universal power, if you will, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. And it has allowed them to be in a position of dominion, power and authority that they're in right now. And it's their religion, and they have used their religion of Christianity, which is the perversion of the name and the word of Yah, to acquire what they have acquired. This is a life for the Gentiles, from a material, spiritual, and identity place. Loved ones, take care.